Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, this weekend ain't about freaking stocks and bonds. It's about football! It's about getting your ass up off of your lazy ass, yelling for your team, and saying, let's go, Bulls! Damn it!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And for the love of God, people, quit doing the freaking wave. Are you kidding me? The wave? Jesus. Nobody does the wave anymore. Yeah, the Billy Bobs do it in NASCAR at the racetrack because there's nothing else to do there. That watch the damn cars go in circles and wait for a wreck.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Damn it, son. Do y'all hear me?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single day.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Statter story coming up in a matter of moments. Right around the corner.
My fupdate will give you nightmares.
Nightmare fupdate today?
It won't be as quite as sexy and interesting as the detachable penis from an octopus.
The detachable penis is going to be hard to top.
Still have a lot of questions on that.
a lot of questions. What's the sensation like? Get back into the NBA playoffs a little bit later on.
How does it know there's a female?
I know. What does it sense? Is it got X-ray vision? What's going on?
Tracking devices?
I really want to know. I want to interview the octopus.
The water's warmer over here.
Ooh. Some lawsuits are getting sent in. Somebody wants to sue the 2001 Mariners laying a turd in the playoffs after the best regular season in Major League Baseball history. That's a good lawsuit.
I'm asking sincerely here. I'm not trolling. I am not dirt. I don't troll Mariner fans for fun.
This is the year.
I remember watching that team and watching and following that season. I loved Mike Cameron. Ichiro was a sensation. I saw that team play a couple times in person. Did Mariner fan go into the playoffs with the expectation they were going to win the World Series?
I think when you win 116 games, that's unquestionably your expectation.
Okay. Well, I just like...
Not like it's a certainty it's going to happen, right. But like... You got to go pay it off now.
Well, like the Cavs won 64
They certainly thought
games.
They were going to get to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, at least get to the dance, at least.
They lost to the Yanks, right?
I believe they lost to the Yankees.
Because I just don't remember the other AL stuff that season.
Let me look it up.
I believe it was the Yankees. The damn Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the stretch where they were in the World Series like four out of five years, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so the Mariners won 116 games.
Indians in the divisional series and lost to the Yankees.
Lost in five games to the Yankees in the ALCS.
Was that the famous Indian series where the shadow and earring problem happened?
Yes. Who was that pitcher for the Indians?
I don't remember.
Gosh, I can picture him in my mind.
Yeah, I can see him, but
and
I don't know his
the
name.
Glistening of the necklace was throwing
the
off
necklace,
the hitters, and they made
was.
Him take his necklace off. I mean, it was a huge controversy of like, you can't tell me to take the necklace off. And they're like, yeah, we can. The sun's shining on the necklace. That's a pretty good lawsuit. Let's see what else we got here. Can I sue Neil O'Shea for emotional damage due to his malpractice by bifurcating his proprietary information? That's pretty solid. What else we got here? I want to sue the NFL for coming out years later and saying Dez caught it. I'm still not over that.
That's
a good one.
I mean, we wouldn't be able to make fun of that franchise quite as much had they gone to the NFC title game that year.
Yeah, very true.
It would have snapped that whole streak thing.
They're the only team in the NFC, right, who hasn't been to an NFC title game this century?
Yes.
Somebody asking on Twitter, is it too late to sue the Blazers for taking Sam Bowie? No, it's never too late, man. You can always file that lawsuit if you want. And another one, similar to our age range, where Blazers Western Conference, I want to sue the Lakers. Or sue the Blazers for melting down, and I was crying in my living room. Mm. As a fourth grader, as we all were, that was a tough day in Blazer history. Nothing better in May than when you get to ranking season, especially ones that'll get people fired up. So I'm going to ask you guys this question, and we'll see how much you agree with this college football writer. Paul Meyerberg, who we've had on the show before, he covers college football for the USA Today. He came out with a Big Ten head coach rankings in college football, and it's delightful, and I want to get to it. But before I do, I would like to ask the question. According to Brandon Sprague and Jason Swigard, Chuck and Jay, who are your top five Big Ten coaches?
Chuck and Jay.
Timberwolves and Warriors.
Chuck and Woyo. Okay, it would have been nice for you to give us a heads up on this segment.
Nah, I like off-the-cuff rankings.
Okay.
Having to look up all the names of the head coaches or try and rattle through them. Well, I mean, a lot of people are just immediately eliminated.
Am I going to rank this by most recent success?
Just who do you think is the best coach? You can use whatever determining factors you want to use.
I think it's fair to go Ryan Day one.
He just won a national championship.
This is where it gets a little
I would
tricky.
Go Dan Lanning two.
Really?
Dan Lanning two.
Yeah.
Over James Franklin?
Yes.
Because he beat him in a Big Ten title game?
I just think.
Over Kirk Ferentz?
Punts. What, you going to put Matt Rhule in there?
No, I didn't say Matt Rhule. I just, the Lanning one's interesting. I definitely think he's in the top three. But
I think what Lanning has done adapting
to that things, Nike money.
Well.
Why are we losing all these recruits, man? I thought we got unlimited,
you're not paying enough.
Unlimited resources.
Step it up.
That we can spend anything we want.
I think he's more adaptive to his personnel than James Franklin is. James Franklin tries to mold his personnel to his style that he wants to play.
Interesting. Okay.
And
I'm fascinated by that.
I
answer.
Didn't see that answer coming, but all right.
I don't know how to quantify what
okay,
you just
so you go,
said.
Okay, so you would go Lanning too.
What about Cignetti?
Kurt Cignetti. Google me, bitch. I win.
What about Lincoln Riley?
Kurt Cignetti, by the way, needs to get shoved in a locker. He's coming out. He said that Oregon's
named Oregon.
Yeah, said they're spending because I'm sure Dan Lanning's on the phone with you at Big Ten conference calls saying, you know, Kurt, we're spending $40 million on our roster this year.
I think
you have no idea how much these teams are spending.
I think what's difficult is
shut up and sit down.
It's like trying to give some coaches credit for what they've done where they're at.
Yeah, that's a hard thing about college football.
I have no idea what to do with Sharon Moore.
I mean, he's not coached long enough for you to do anything.
I mean, it's funny. No. Like, nobody's even mentioned Lincoln Riley.
I just said Lincoln Riley.
Oh, you did? Okay. What about Brett Bielema, who's had a great coaching career?
Bielema's another one. Like, really tricky. The Wisconsin stuff.
Yep.
But then Arkansas sucked. But now, like, Illinois might find themselves in the Big Ten title game this year.
They might.
They're returning kind of a ton of talent.
They're a dark horse team for a lot of people this year.
Let's sort this out then. Number one, Ryan Day.
Number one, Ryan Day.
You know what? I'll give you number two. He went undefeated in year one of the Big Ten. He's absolutely a recruiting monster. Just do it.
I look at it as if I had a program that, you know, who would be my first call?
Who's your third?
Then you got to go James Franklin, right? You have to.
Don't you?
You got to. Who are you taking ahead of James Franklin?
Franklin.
Name me the name.
Vanderbilt,
you going Lincoln Riley over James Franklin right now?
I mean,
one guy can has a functioning defense.
Oh, Lincoln's building it right now.
Sure he is.
It's going to come out the same year America
this
has
is
a
the
dome.
Year. This is the year.
Boy Fish.
Yeah, come on.
Jed Fish?
That don't smell right.
Dude, he turned Arizona turned into a winning program with him.
A season.
If he would have stayed committed to the program. I mean, they would have been okay this year.
Would they?
I think so.
I think they kind of proved they were a little duddy.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Number three, I'll go Franklin.
You got to go Franklin. You have to.
I don't know if it's that easy.
I think it is easy.
Okay. Number four.
Good luck.
Bielema. Probably go Bielema.
Bielema.
When you have success at multiple stops, doesn't that?
He has.
That was their first 10-win season in God knows how long.
He also flamed out at Arkansas. So he's great in the Big Ten. So I guess if you're going Big Ten logic here, he's great at Wisconsin, been good at Illinois.
Mean, you know, if they're really good again and win 10 games this year, let's say they even make the playoff. That's two out of three stops that have been good. Are you going to hold the one against him?
I won't hold the one against him.
And then
I'm okay with Bielema being number four. I'm all right with that.
Number five, I refuse to give Ferentz anything because, like, he's anti-offense. I'm gonna go Lincoln.
You go Lincoln Riley?
I'll go Lincoln five.
Lincoln five?
With Rule and Fish and Jonathan Smith on the outside looking in.
No Kurt Cignetti. No
Cignetti looking in as well.
Lighten up your cigs for this year.
Do it 2 years.
So Paul Meyerberg came out with this ranking. I think I agree with your ranking.
You know,
maybe nitpick a little bit here or there, but overall it's hard. Like anything you want to point to being a negative for one coach, like Lincoln Riley for whatever his last year and a half has been, every other coach has something like that.
Also
in their history,
Schiano.
Right?
I mean, I just, you know, Schiano's been a good laughing stock.
This gets back to us. Remember when we ranked our top 10 coaches in college football, and it's like, where do you go with overall success or doing more with less?
100%.
Like, it's a very tricky sport to rank because not everybody's playing with the same amount of resources. Paul Meyerberg of USA Today came out with his Big Ten head coaching rankings, and he had Ryan Day number one.
Mm-hmm.
No shocker there. Just won a national title.
Yep.
James Franklin number two.
Okay, so that's got to be established longevity at one program.
I mean, he's won 9 or 10 games everywhere every year that he's been there.
Yeah, so they won 13 games last year.
Yeah, I mean, we criticize him for not winning the quote unquote big game, and they unquestionably had an easy path in the playoff this year. He did lose to Oregon and Ohio State in the regular season / Big Ten championship game, but he's got consistent success. I'm okay with that. Kirk Ferentz ranked number three.
Yikes.
Dan Lanning four, Matt Rhule was number five.
So the Ferentz thing is just simply like Iowa has been largely really consistent and in the Big Ten title game a few times, so let's give it to them, even though they've been in the worst division.
I'll pull up the article.
I know they don't do divisions anymore, but when they have divisions, he was
legends and leaders. Come on, man.
Yeah.
His Kirk Ferentz thing is, quote, Ferentz is the longest tenured coach in the bowl subdivision. Iowa's won at least 8 games in every non-COVID season since 2015. Has posted a losing record just once since 2006. His style of play has its detractors. You can't argue with the Hawkeyes' consistent success punching above its weight in annual push for a major bowl game.
I think that's the other tough part is I don't know what the bar should be with Iowa because he's been there forever.
It's a good point. He's been there a very long time.
But, like, should your offense be better?
Yes, it should. It's inexcusable to be that bad offensively.
So if 8 wins is
and
the
2025,
bar, that means if you had a good offense, you could be a 10-win team.
He also had a nepo hire of his son as offensive coordinator, which clearly was not a good hire.
Well, it's terrible.
And he refused to move on after even all the evidence pointing to this guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing on that side of the ball. Dan Lanning came in for Matt Rhule number 5. Lincoln Riley was 9th on this list.
Mm.
Jed Fish was 15th, ranked behind Barry Odom. Make that one make sense.
That one seems very.
If you want to give Barry Odom the credit for his one good year at UNLV, that's fine. Are we not giving Jed Fish credit for his one good year at Arizona? Like, how is that not applying? Get out of here with Barry Odom being ahead of him. Jonathan Smith was 12th, ranked ahead of Sharon Moore.
Yeah, okay.
Which, I'm not bad. Right. And David Braun at Northwestern was your last place coach in the Big Ten. I love a good ranking offseason.
Northwestern's coach was last.
David Braun.
Over Maryland's?
Over Mike Loxley was 16th.
Mike Loxley has been an utter disaster. I was reading an article about the Big Ten, not this one, and it was like Maryland's thing was, we won't stop anybody this year because their defense is going to blow.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
I don't even know how he's not fired. I don't know why they have a football program, Maryland.
It's one of those places that should probably just shut it down. Deshaun Foster was 17th. So your bottom three were Loxley, Foster, and David Braun at Northwestern.
Yeah.
So love a good ranking. Kurt Cignetti was 6th. The rest of your top 10, P.J. Fleck, Brett Bielema, Lincoln Riley, and then Greg Schiano.
So where was your guy after
Dan
Ferentz?
Lanning was after Kirk Ferentz, ranked after Kirk Ferentz, which, you know, I don't think Kirk Ferentz is a terrible head coach, but if you don't have a functioning offense in 2025, I can't take you seriously.
It'd be a very biased poll question to post up for this area, obviously, but I even think haters of Dan Lanning in Oregon would laugh at that
question. Who's the better head coach?
Who would you rather have?
Kirk Ferentz or Dan Lanning?
Boy, he coaches him up to 8 wins, though.
Hey, gets those 8 wins, baby. You get those 8 wins, man.
Punts.
That'd
punts.
Be fun. The Big Ten head coach rankings, James Franklin, 2nd ahead of Dan Lanning and Kirk Ferentz. Let's get to Stat or Story. What do we got cooked up for you today? We'll find out next on The Fam.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So
that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
All right, Stat or Story time on a Wednesday, as it always is, at 8:15. Does anybody want to go first? Who wants a T-box today?
I'll go first.
You want to fire away?
There we go. Yeah.
I love leading the T-box
here.
Lead
the T-box off.
You're going to slice that thing or set the tempo for the whole round.
What do we got?
Your number is 5.
5.
Number is 5. Okay. Is it the fifth time since Justify won the Triple Crown 2018? The Preakness will go on without a true shot at the Triple Crown.
Yeah, that stupid horse isn't running in the next race.
Or,
why is anybody going to watch?
Is it the amount of decades a woman who disappeared from Wisconsin was found safe?
I actually read that news story.
I'm going to say stat.
I mean, just it's so dumb. Why would you not run the race? I don't get it.
Load management. It's going to horse racing now. Load management.
Sport that people care about for 3 days out of the year.
Remember the 90s when all these horses played real hard?
They got physical. They had to travel on old school airplanes.
Not my secretariat.
That's when Baffert was using his roids.
I mean, just roid them up and get their ass back out there. I'm going to go stat too. I'm leaning stat.
Look at that. How about that? Congratulations, you morons. Yes, it's the fifth time.
Fifth time.
Since the horse Justify won the Triple Crown in 2018, the Preakness will go on without a true shot at a Triple Crown.
I honestly forgot that we had a Triple Crown winner, to be honest with you.
I knew it was Justify. Couldn't remember the year.
Couldn't remember the year. When was the last one before then? Was that like a long stretch, like Russell Westbrook breaking it in the NBA?
No, I thought there was.
Was there another one more
recently? There was a long stretch from, it was 77 or 78 when Affirmed did it, and then there was a long stretch until the next horse did it.
2015, American Pharoah.
There you go.
That name I remember,
Affirmed in 1978.
American Pharoah!
Seattle Slough in 77. Secretariat in 73. Citation, Assault, Count Fleet, Whirlaway.
So it used to happen more often, is what you're telling me.
Gallant Fox and Sir Barton.
Mm.
There's your Triple Crown winners.
Okay.
13 horses. Yes, this story is out of Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Audrey Backeberg disappeared from a small city in south central Wisconsin after reportedly hitchhiking with her family's babysitter and catching a bus to Indy. Nobody ever knew where she went or what happened to her. All that changed last week when she was found alive and safe in another state, thanks to eyes from a deputy who took over a case in February. There was an out-of-state arrest record that matched Backeberg, which triggered a series of investigative moves that led to finding her alive and safe in another state. She's happy, safe, and secure. Just kind of lived under the radar for that long.
That's wild.
And the investigation leads them to believe that Backeberg was escaping an abusive husband at the time. She is now living in her 80s, hanging out.
Just wanted to get away, and then they were looking for her, and she's like, well, I'm not going back.
I always thought when a missing persons case happened, like the minute that person, this is how I used to think as a kid. And when you get older and you become an adult, you realize everything's dumb and all the adults are dumb.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I used to think if there was a missing persons that's an adult, the minute they did anything, they would be alerted. They're alive. Evidently, that's not the case.
Not the case.
Social security number, all that was being used.
And they just couldn't. How do you not connect the dots there? There aren't dots. I've learned as an adult all of this stuff.
Still paying her taxes. She's got a job. Like, this person's alive. Maybe check with the IRS. That's wild.
You didn't call him missing. She moved.
She moved. Yeah. She moved.
Just moved.
Wanted to get the hell out of there, man.
All right.
That's wild. What do you got, Swag?
Your number is six.
Six.
Is it the average points scored in the fourth quarter and overtime in the playoffs by Tyrese Halliburton so far this postseason? So per game.
Both overtime and fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter, and he had the one overtime game, so we'll include that.
So he's averaging six
points. So after the end of three quarters, what's his average
half
per
of Jalen Brunson
right
okay.
now? Already leaning stat because he wants us to think it's going to be more than six.
Or I'm going to go less than that. I'm going to go story.
Is it the age of a son of a Kentucky woman who got a hold of her phone and managed to order some 30 cases of dum-dum suckers before mom could figure out what was going on and they were delivered?
Did this you think that was going a different direction?
This is the problem when we all come together.
It's the exact same story.
I have the exact same story. It's my story. So I'll let you guess this.
I'd like your answer. What would you guess here?
I believe it's a story. I can't remember. It's his second grader.
Oh, my God. It's your story and you don't know?
I mean, that wasn't my story. That wasn't a part of my story. I had a different number. I was going to do the total amount of the purchase price was going to be my number. So it wasn't the age. He's a second grader, so I'm assuming he's six. So I'm going to go story.
Wait, second grader?
Second grader,
and
six,
you're assuming
right?
he's six? No.
Is that not 6 years old?
You turned six in kindergarten.
I don't know how all the ages work. Your kids have been through this. You tell me. How old
he's still
is
working on.
He's in second grade. They're not in school. How the hell am I going to figure that out?
How old do you think he's going to be when kindergarten comes around?
I mean, I assume five, somewhere in that range.
So how is second grade six?
I mean, you could be six and be in second grade. You could turn six. Some people start kindergarten when they're five. Don't turn six until they get into, like, if your birthday's in the summer.
And what grade do they?
You'll be six when you're in first grade, and then going into second grade, you could still be six, depending on when your birthday is.
Your math ain't math, and those kids need to be held back a year.
Then I guess it's a store. I don't know. He's in second grade, so it's got to be a stat. I don't know. You go ahead and guess.
Your dumbness has made me.
Yeah, figure it out, Sprague. How old is second grade?
It's not six.
Then answer the question.
So what would not second grade be?
Figure it out.
No, I'm telling you. We're working together here.
I can't answer. I'm not answering. I'm pissed. We use the same damn story. I hate this segment. This is stupid.
Okay, so it's either his averages.
His average.
Or the age.
Or the age of the kid.
It's a stat.
Yes.
There you go.
God.
Kid's eight.
You think second graders are 6 years old?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have an elementary school age child
yet.
But
you gave a really good defense to yourself there.
I mean, I think it's probably happened. I don't know what the average
genius children.
If you ask me how old is a second grader, I'm not going to be able to answer that off the top of my head. My kid's not in second grade yet, so I don't know.
How old is a second grader? Six, seven, nine, or five?
And if you had asked me off the cuff how old's a second grader off the top of my head, I would have told you probably seven.
Yeah. There you go.
So how old did you say this kid was?
Eight.
Okay. Or nine? Is nine applicable?
I sell back now.
I hope not.
Now he's going the other direction?
Unless he's like an OJ or OJ Mayo, where his dad's purposely holding him back to be a freak athlete.
That's what I'm going to do with Teddy Ballgame. He's not starting until he's eight.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton in fourth quarters in the one overtime game, averaging 6 points. However, he's had 14, 9, and 11 in the last three games. He had two scoreless fourth quarters early on in their opening round series. But no, do you want to do the story now? Or
yeah, the kid stole his mom's phone and he bought $4,200 worth of dum-dum lollipops.
Yeah, nearly 70,000 dum-dum lollipops showing up at her.
What's the return policy here?
She finally figured it out with the bank and Amazon, and they discovered what had happened.
Kid just wanted a dum-dum lollipop, man.
Well,
he just accidentally ordered 70,000 cases.
He was planning to have a big carnival festival in his neighborhood with his buddies.
Dude, what app did the kid order it on?
Amazon.
On Amazon.
Oh, can you accidentally order 70,000 dum-dums at your local convenience store?
No, you can't.
No, you cannot.
I don't think seven-year-olds know how to do that.
Well, yeah, shop local.
Figure it out, kid.
Thank you. What's your status story?
That is it. There you go. Coming up next.
I mean, we're actually on the clock.
I'm surprised this is the first time it's actually happened.
I mean, there's only so many funny news stories. I saw your story. Well, we clearly are going to the same websites looking for stories for this segment.
I'll go way obscure next week, okay?
The only way I was obscure last week is because my dad found the story about the longest fart. That was the only reason I had one that you guys hadn't seen yet. He found that one.
6 years old in second grade. What a genius.
Somebody said, my son is, where did this go? My son has an August 31st birthday, so he will be 5 all of kindergarten.
Now you can make an argument you should start later, but that's fine.
Sure. So I'm so you turn 5, and then school starts in September.
And then he turns 6
in first grade. So you would turn 6 in first grade, so you'd be 6 all of first grade.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'd be 7 by the time second grade started. Well, there you go. Sadder story.
Why did you get so mad? You have a child.
I know. I don't know the ages off the top of my head.
I know. I'm just you're 4 years away.
It's going to be here soon.
Rapidly approaching.
Believe it or not, not quite in school yet. He's not quite there, but he's almost there.
Preschool's around the corner.
Preschool is around the corner. That I can tell you.
Scouting
preschool. 3 years old is when preschool starts. That I can tell you.
Teddy has a throwing problem.
Getting him out of the house.
Blocked, hit Jenny in the face.
Get your ass in school.
Yeah, but like, was it in the middle, directly where he was aiming? It appears so.
What was his spin rate?
I mean, it's a good curveball.
What was the exit velocity of her forehead?
He said, "Statter story to dirt is to Sprague in the line. It is to Sprague. It is. This is stupid. I knew this was going to happen at some point. We're all coming with our own stories, and we have the same stupid story. Let's get to a little more NBA playoffs. I got a couple of football notes I want to talk about. Dive into it next. Thought from our new fearless leader, Dusty, the brand manager, Hera.
Oh, he's no longer the fan man. Well, I guess he could still be the fan man.
He's still the fan man.
The brand man.
He's the brand man.
Dusty the brand man Hera.
Dusty the brand man Hera says, as a teacher, my wife often wonders how on earth parents don't know what age their kids start school. Dirt's the answer. I am the answer. I mean, I've thought about this. So Teddy's birthday is at the end of January. So he'll start kindergarten when he's got to be 5.
Yes.
So he'll be one of the older kids, right? Would that make him an older kid?
No, he'd be in the middle.
Right in the middle?
Middle-ish.
Kind of a sweet spot?
He'll be middle.
Mid?
It depends. I mean, he might...
There might be a couple birthdays.
Because my birthday's at the end of the summer, so I was one of the youngest in my classes.
See, you should have started as one of the older, is how you should have started. But we didn't know that information.
Yeah, it's better to be the older kid than the younger kid.
Well, there's a kid in my kid's grade who is basically should be a year up, but he's got a summer birthday, so his parents waited. He's like one of the smartest kids in the class.
Not a bad idea.
You have an advantage.
Probably helps you athletically,
there's a
too.
Built-in advantage there.
You're a little bit older.
Yeah.
Maybe just wait till he's 6. Just to keep him around the house a little bit longer. Let him cook longer, you know what I mean?
No, I think January is a tough one to do that with.
Yeah,
it's tough. More like June,
usually
July,
the cutoff was like the middle of September.
There's a weird thing in Malcolm Gladwell's book about how this impacts hockey.
How I knew about all of this was that book.
There's the birthday stretch where I think it's like January and February birthdays based on whatever.
In Russia, right?
It's like all these hockey players have their birthdays that time of year because of the age and when they start playing
and
all
book,
that stuff.
Some of that book has been debunked in some ways, like they've done more research on some of that stuff. But I do know a lot of people abide by the... If you can have the older kid in the class, you should try to have the older kid in the class.
Yeah. You don't want it to be egregious, but the older kid's better, right? A little bit bigger, a little more mature. You take that anytime.
If my kid's born after June, maybe even first, I would just contemplate.
Yeah, you wait.
You wait.
Waiting. You do the thing where you're 5 the entire time.
Yeah.
How about this as a waste of money and acknowledging it quickly today? I don't know what it is about wide receivers in the NFL who have gone on to new teams and just completely flamed out. When you see the signing, you're like, that could be something. This has happened with a handful of guys, and none of them have really turned out that well. And the latest one just got cut in Jacksonville. Gabe Davis, 14 months ago, big game Gabe Davis in Buffalo, signed a 3-year contract worth $39 million. He got $24 million guaranteed. And 14 months later, he has been cut. They are going to eat $20 million in dead cap money.
Yeah.
He had only, what were his numbers this year, 20 catches for 239 yards and 2 touchdowns, and appearing in 10 games, and the Jags had a horrendous season. And so they're essentially saying, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to eat $20 million in dead money. See you later. Thanks for nothing, Gabe Davis.
Yeah, I didn't really view that signing as anything massive. That's not a big number either. And this is what you get with a new regime, is they basically have to go through and clean up all the disgusting mess that a previous regime left.
There was a lot of mess in Jacksonville.
Trent Baalke left a very awful situation.
Remember when they were going to keep Trent Baalke as their general manager?
Yeah, and then Liam Cohn said, I'm not taking your job unless you fire them. Okay, we'll go back on our word and we'll fire Trent Baalke.
Like, I feel like this happened with both Charger wide receivers, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Keenan Allen wasn't horrendous in Chicago last year, but I didn't feel like he was much of an impact guy. And Mike Williams in New York was a disaster.
Yeah.
And now he's back. It's just funny how some guys, you see, you think you're getting that, you know, wily veteran and a guy who's on a more affordable contract than some dude in the prime of his career. And for a lot of these guys, it just doesn't end up panning out. Gabe Davis did get paid, though. He got $24 million in guaranteed money, so he's doing just fine.
He'll get picked up, too.
You think the Bills go back? You think they rekindled the love?
I don't know.
Hey, come back for the cheap, Gabe. Why don't you come hang out with us?
Somebody's going to pick him up, and he got $24 million from the Jags to do nothing.
Yeah, so that happened today in the NFL. Tonight in the NBA playoffs, we continue on with an upset riddled second round. Boston and Oklahoma City. Now, we had this yesterday. I think at the end of the show, we highlighted the point spread in each game was identical. I think it was 7.5, somewhere in that range. 6.5, 7.5.
The settings on my laptop, being the Eastern time zone, have thrown my ESPN.com.
Yeah, these games are starting late.
It says 7 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, 4:05 and 6:30.
Yeah, I was like, wait, 9:30? This can't be right.
9:30 tip for the second game? I ain't watching that, man. That's way too late.
Both spreads right now at 10.5.
10.5, identical lines in game twos. Now, this is where it gets interesting because I think your comparison earlier in the show is valid. Like, we've had a lot of March Madness, crazy, wacky endings, comebacks, 7 points in 50 seconds, whatever these games have been. But at some point, you would imagine in the NBA playoffs that the cream rises to the top. Like, this, like, you see these little bumps in the radar every now and then eventually the better team wins out and the more, you know, whatever. Will it happen? Tonight is fascinating because if these continue, if you get a New York or a Denver win tonight, whoo, buddy, the panic in either Boston or Oklahoma City, or maybe we get a couple of blowouts and you say, oh, there they are. They're still on a collision course to play each other in the finals.
I'd be more than willing to come in tomorrow and be wrong on this because I'm rooting for the Knicks to win game two.
Yes.
I don't think this is a game where the Celtics miss 45 threes.
No.
I also think they attack a little bit more. They just stopped doing that. Everything was a step back three. Look, Brown's injury is very concerning for people. Obviously, Kristaps Porzingis not being a rotational player right now for them is also of concern. If they don't miss 45 threes, they win that game going away.
Yeah.
So is that
going up by 20?
Is that going to keep going? Because the Knicks got good games from Anunoby. They got great second half play from Brunson. Towns wasn't amazing, but Hart was his usual self. Bridges did some good stuff as well too. I just look at this as like, are the Celtics going to shoot that way? I would not gamble that they will. So if you don't miss 45, instead you miss
25
or 30 even.
Yeah, which is bad, but not as bad as it was in game one.
Like, they're winning that game.
You make 10 more. You make 10 more of those threes that if you're going to take 50 or 60 a game.
It's a big game for Tatum. They're down a little bit. They're banged up.
I think Tatum's going to try to make an effort to go to the rack. He'll probably go to the foul line a bunch.
Well, there's those weird, I think it's Gatorade. I want to say it's Gatorade. But there's this weird ad with him where it's like they're showing highlights and in the background you hear face of the league. And I just...
He's not even the best player on his own team.
In no way is that guy by any realistic, serious NBA fan the face of the league.
Jaylen Brown's been the better player both times they've been in the finals.
I know Bill Simmons wants to throw him on this list of the top-ish tier players of Jokic and Giannis and all that. Like, he's
a very good player.
He's the next tier for me down, but people thrust him into this tier that I don't think is real, but it's a big game for him to perform. The other side, I mean, pretty self-explanatory. Nuggets, I didn't think, played the cleanest game, and they somehow won.
No.
The Thunder still are not getting anything from Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren in the playoffs. That needs to happen. And Jokic is out here with his arm sleeve still on at a hotel bar, just like, you know, gianting around like, oh, I won game one.
Game one victory for me. Time for a beer.
Murray has a good game. You expect some, maybe a couple got Braun. Brown is playing really good right now. Gordon is in his zone. Jokic was just stellar. Man, I think the pressure in Oklahoma City is so much greater than it being in Boston.
I mean, Boston just won a title. So they're psychos and they'll freak out if they lose the game, but they just won an NBA championship
last year. Boston doesn't have to change anything about how they play. They just got to make more
shots. I also think
they've also proven that they can do it with this collection of players.
Well, I also think even if they go down 2-0,
need to make some adjustments.
Boston can beat the Knicks 5 out of the next, or 4 out of the next 5 games.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't think if Oklahoma City loses, they can beat Jokic 4 out of the next 5.
With 3 of them in Denver.
With 3, yeah, 3 games at elevation. Let's build our hump day parlay of the day. We got to get our cup check on. We'll wrap it up on a Wednesday next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Your cup check for last night. Did we watch any of the hockey last night? You had an overtime winner in the nation's capital.
Sure didn't.
Yeah, I missed it.
I had basketball practice, so I only caught the Cavs-Pacers game, and then I got home and I had to watch the Wolves choke at home and have a piss-poor performance against the Warriors.
I saw bits and pieces on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good night of hockey. Carolina came. They scored a late third period goal, I'd say about 9 minutes to go, ten minutes to go, to tie the game 1-1. Mm. Win it overtime. They got the game winner, so they won game one on the road. And then Edmonton
with a 3-goal third. That's their thing. Huge. They just kind of ease into it and then unleash the hounds in the third period.
Stone was great for Vegas, but Edmonton too much offense late. That was a nice road victory. The Oilers have now won 5 consecutive playoff games.
Why did Aiden Hill try to snare that puck when it was 4 feet over his head?
I don't know. That was a
a ridiculous goal. Yes,
it was a ridiculous goal, but a bad attempt.
Why didn't he just let that one go to the glass?
Doesn't make a lot of sense there, Bob. I'm not quite sure, but that was last night in hockey. Tonight, we get the Maple Leafs in game 2 after a game 1 win. Do we have an update on the goaltending situation? Back, healthy? Are we in the lineup tonight? Do we know?
He has not been ruled out.
Blue line Swigard, we're not sure. Okay.
Stoller's there. Yep. So I never really saw a diagnosis. I don't know if he went into concussion protocol or what they determined was his issue. But I haven't seen anything that he has scratched.
Mm. And then your nightcap is Dallas-Winnipeg. Game 1 of that series is tonight. They haven't even started
yet. It's going to be a scene in Winnipeg.
It's going to be pretty crazy in old Winnipeg. So you got a couple of Canadian cities hosting Stanley Cup playoff games.
Jason Robertson skated with the Stars yesterday.
Big news if they get him back.
That's massive.
Massive news to have him back in the lineup. Yeah. Should be fun. The playoffs were great last night. They should be great again tonight.
Steph Curry over there pulling a hamstring.
Reach, stretch, stretch.
Yeah,
Timberwolves and Warriors
can run with a hamstring injury. That's smart.
All right, I'm gonna try and cook up a Wednesday parlay of the day here. See if you guys how you feel about it. Came close last night, didn't hit.
Nah, you lost.
Losers lose. Right. You know.
Yep.
But hey, you know what shooters do?
Shooters shoot. Yeah, which is why you're taking the Celtics and laying the points, right?
I am taking the Celtics and laying the points.
Wow.
Yeah,
big,
I am.
Big favorite, huh?
I mean, they're up by 20 in game 1. I don't see them collapsing. They're the best team in the NBA, in my mind. They have been all year, and I think they win the game probably going away tonight.
You're picking them to win it?
I am picking them to win it. I would take the Celtics minus 10.5. I think the Thunder are in their own kitchen a little bit. Oh. I think the lack of playoff success last year, followed by the choking of game 1. Now, I would be pretty surprised if Denver takes a 2-0 series lead, but I think they can play better than they played in game 1, sans the final 2 minutes of the game where they had that epic comeback. I think the Nuggets can cover that number. I think they keep it competitive. You're giving me 10.5 with Jokic? I'm going to take it.
I think they're playing free. I think they're no longer worried about anything.
It's tonight the random Michael Porter Jr. game when you're like,
no,
well, why?
He's done. I think he'll blame it on his shoulder, but no, he's done. You're going to see a lot more Westbrook.
His shoulder is hurt. I don't think he would blame. I think
he's legitimately hurt. It's not a fake injury concern.
Yeah, he's got the brace thing.
He was pretty good in game 7 against the Clippers.
It's a pad. It's not even a brace.
Yeah, don't be a bitch. Get out there and play.
I'd watch you guys just do physical things and just be great.
Stop being a bitch.
We did this to Darius Garland the other day. It's a toe. Get out there and play. Yeah. Don't be a pansy. It's the NBA playoffs, man.
No, I think that's a single-digit game.
Yeah, I see it
the
being competitive.
The Thunder have to. I think the Thunder will find a way. They'll have to, you know, find a way to win this one. They won't choke too free
Jokic
throws.
Is just so damn good
right now, man. I think Denver knows what they're doing. And I think they're done with the coaching change and all of the nonsense that's going on. They're just playing basketball now.
Mm. Okay.
They weren't playing basketball before, but now they are.
Are we 2 for 2 on a show parlay so far? We like Celtics and Nuggets tonight?
I'm with you right there.
Basketball Brandon agree on the game tonight?
Basketball Brandon's done.
No, basketball He's Brandon shook. Doesn't. You keep shooting. Nope. This is what we do.
Scared money, don't bet money.
You don't have to bet.
You're running four corners right now.
Yeah, dude.
Run that shot
ain't
clock
no
down.
Shot clock. It pains me to do it. I think I will take the Panthers tonight on the road.
Wow.
With the goaltending question mark around Toronto. I'm not going to go puck. Just give me money line. I think it's like minus 140, whatever. Sprinkle it into the parlay. And then I'm going to take the Jets at home.
Mm.
I'm going to take Hellebuck at home.
Yep. Hart Trophy finalist.
Hart Trophy finalist.
Yeah.
Did he find his form at the end of Game 7?
Going to be okay when they're down 2-0 after the first period
no,
and still
be
believe that they're coming
no.
back the way that they have most of
you
the
know,
playoffs?
I will panic and tell them to send into the text that this bet is cooked, and then hopefully they find a way to come back.
Stars are 22-16-3
oh.
on the road.
Oh, look at you.
Just saying.
Winnipeg's got one of the best home records in the NHL this year.
37-4.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's 37-4, not 37.
Because that sport has ties.
37-4 would be a pretty remarkable home record.
Yes, it would.
37-4
yes.
is still pretty good.
Mm.
So there you go. That's it. That's all I got for today. I'm ran out of time. You guys got anything else? We got 2 minutes to kill. I got nothing from Basketball Brandon. He just stopped talking. He doesn't want to preview the games tonight.
Well, you guys just didn't shut up about hockey. And then Swag's like, I think the Nuggets are going to finally play basketball.
They played basketball game one.
They did. They played pretty good basketball in game one.
What would free them up? They've already won.
I'm saying all they're doing now is just playing basketball. They're not worried about anything else.
They won game one. They clearly weren't worried about
anything.
That's
what I'm saying.
How much is Jokic going to yell at MPJ tonight? How much yelling do we get
from
Jokic?
I don't think he yelled at somebody who's on the bench.
Mm. Is he not going to play at all tonight?
I just don't think he's going to play when it matters.
Mm.
So why is he going to get yelled at?
He was yelling at him on the floor in game one.
They'll run him out there. They'll see if he gets hot, hits a couple of threes, then great. But if
I'm seriously asking this. How does Chet Holmgren respond? He
had
a missed dunk. He had a missed putback dunk.
And two missed free throws.
And he clanked two free throws in the most crucial part of the game.
He did.
Also, Daigneault, promise you at this point, he has walked them through when to foul if they're up three.
Don't foul so quickly. How about that tonight?
I don't think that they will.
Why don't we handle that situation a little bit better? We'll see if it continues, man. Didn't know what to make of the games last night. And boy, oh boy, did we get a couple of treats. Part of it was because Cleveland was banged up, but turned out to be a great night in the NBA. Again, and we'll see if the upsets continue. So far, the underdogs are 5-0 outright.
Just a great play.
Not just covering the number, they're winning the game outright.
This is what we love about sports.
This is it, man. Nobody has any clue what's going to happen, and I can't wait to sit down and watch it tonight. Hopefully we get four more good games in the Stanley Cup playoff and in the NBA playoffs. That will do it for us. We went to Oklahoma City for the Daily Ticker. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Make sure you like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. That will do it for us. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Call on us next for listening to 1080 The Fan.